bless his name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we honor you today. Thank you for the manifestation of your anointing in this place. Have your way, speak afresh in this house. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we give you the glory. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will last forever. For your glory. Amen. Amen. Just briefly, I want to just raise a part of the scripture read so ably by our dear sister. There's nothing worse than being in a position where you've been asked to read scripture and then you look down and see unfamiliar names. We just don't have a lot of Shimmeruffelmuths running around. Great job, sis. Let me do, I want to read the beginning of verse 4, and then I'm going to skip down and read verse 7. The beginning of verse 4, he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to profess God's name and to thank and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Verse 7. Then on that day, David entrusted Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord as their chief task. This is the word of God for the people of God. If you don't mind, look over, wave at somebody. I know your hand's cold, so use it real quick. You shake it around and warm up and just tell them, don't stop the music. Amen. Don't stop the music. Don't stop the music. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Don't stop the music. As much as I would like to tell you that I was through with the series, I'm not, because I've been setting you up to get to this point and similar points I want to make with it as I do both preach and teach this series that is important for where our house is going as God has blessed us. Listen, let me be clear with you. I've already taught you this lesson, the first part of the lesson, so it's going to be real brief because that is the beginning of this text. The beginning of this text reminds us of the ending of the journey that we were talking about some time ago, and that was the journey of bringing the Ark of the Lord up into the place of Jerusalem. So this text begins with the end of that journey. And now we get to that climactic moment where the Ark actually arrives. And we all through this year, if you go back and think about the sermons I've been preaching, I've been leading you to this point of the ark's arrival and our point of understanding, because what you have to see in it is a mini compendium of life as it is lived and as we exist. Watch this real quick. On the journey while they were traveling, they experienced problems. And the problem they experienced was the cart shifted. They're trying to move the cart and they're trying to take the Ark of the Covenant. Now watch this. The Bible tells us that the way they're trying to do it is not the way God intended for it to be done, so that what ends up happening was not necessarily the divine plan, but the outcome of human plans, because sometimes even when we're trying to do God's work, we can do it our way, and sometimes that way, even on behalf of God, will cause us problems. And so here they are. They were trying to do God's work, but they did not have a complete understanding of what God wanted done or how to do what God had called them to do. And they ended up with problems. Let me just say this to somebody. I'm going to preach on your street all day today. Every one of us, no matter whether we're trying to live right or not, we end up having problems. Even when we're doing God's work, we end up having problems. Even when we've been trying to go to church and we've been trying to live holy, we've been trying to do right, trying to treat other people right, and still problems. problems come and knock at our door. And everybody in here has a testimony during 23 of problems that you encountered. And that is life. Life is filled with problems. But Indian, not only did that, they experienced problems, but they experienced pain. I told you it's a compendium of life. Watch this. They experienced pain because the Bible says that at the moment that the cart moved, the young man reached his hand up to stay the ark, and the Bible says he died. All of us, whether this year or before, have experienced the pain of the death of loved ones. And there's nothing like experiencing loss because there's something you can't get back. The only thing you can do is endure it and ask God for peace in the midst of it, because there is no replacement for that which is lost, because that which is in the grave is gone from us, but we shall see them again. But on this side, they are no longer present. And the loss itself takes a grip on us, and it causes us to experience in our lives this speech here you ought to know about, a pause. Because when you've experienced loss, it is no shock that you experience a pause where you just don't feel like doing nothing. And the Bible says, they said, just drop that ark off over there at Obed-Edom's house, and I'm going to wait until I figure this out. I got to take a break. And all of you need to realize the fact that you needed a break is not a mark against you. It's just a sign of your humanity. Because there are times in your life where you just have to step back from what you were doing, step back from other people, not be in everybody's company. I can't hang around right now. I'd love to lollygag and talk and chew the fat and chew the bull with you, but right now, I need some time alone. I need to spend some time in prayer. I need to get my head together. I need to recognize that God is still good, even though there's been a setback in my progress because of the loss I've experienced. Can I work with it, Doc? Listen, but through it all, when they finally got the ark up there to the tent and they put it in place, they recognized the value of music. And they realized the value of praise. All they went through, they realized the value of music. I want to work with this a little bit. You see, what you've gone through shouldn't silence your praise. Woo! The fact that you made it through it ought to elevate your praise. You ought to be praising God the more because you made it through. Okay, let me say, I want to do this the other way. It's easy to give God a glory shout because you got a new car. It's easy to give God a glory shout because you're dedicating your house. It's easy to give God a glory shout because you got the clothes that you wanted to buy, or the new shoes you were looking for, or the Gucci or the Fendi. It's easy to give God a glory shout when everything is looking good. But let me tell you something. It's a sign of maturity when you can shout over the pain you've endured, when you can shout because you can say, I don't know how I made it, but somehow I made it. God has kept me in the midst of it all, and I gotta pray. See, let me, I feel like preaching, y'all. I got to hurry. I know y'all cold, so let me hurry up. Listen.
The triumphant shout is louder when you remember the load you've had to carry and endure. You ain't been through nothing. Because anybody who's been through something, you ought to know how to shout as loud as you can. Because he's been too good for you to keep quiet. I need somebody that's been blessed to look over at somebody else and just tell him, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he? He'll do it, he'll do it, he'll do it, he'll do it, he'll take you through it. I don't care how dark the night is, he'll bring joy in the morning. I don't care how rough the road is, he'll let you get through it. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? I know he will. Yeah. Hey. Look at somebody, tell him, weeping may endure for a night, but joy. And just tell him, it wasn't because of me, but to God be the glory. Go ahead! Y'all go ahead, sit down. Y'all go to me. Sit on down. I just sit down. Y'all gonna make me wanna run. Let me see. If you haven't been through nothing, you don't know why I'm shaking up here right now. But if you've been through something, and we're creeping up on the end of 23, and you know if the Lord had not been on your side, you don't know how you made it through all you went through. You realize that God kept you when you thought you were going to lose your mind, when you thought you were going to turn in the towel, when you wanted to wave the flag of surrender. But God. He made a way. He made a way for me. He made a way. Erabasha. He made a way. He made a way for me. I need to talk to somebody right now. He made a way. He made a way. Point at yourself and say it. For me. Okay. Y'all, I'm trying hard. Hey, Masha. Thank you for the way. For me. Okay. All right, let me second. I gotta finish this in 9 minutes. Watch out, y'all be seated. I'm gonna get this part out, cause, okay. I'm trying. After all I've been through, I still got joy. And guess what? It's not because of what's happening. It's because of what he put in me. He put something in me that withholdeth the rain. He put something in me I just can't explain. Okay. I promise you I'm trying. Here it is. Get this. The Bible says they set up and they sacrifice. They give offerings unto God and they make sacrifice. Then the Bible says that David gives everyone who's present, he feeds them like it's a feast and blesses every one of them. And when he has completed those tasks, the Bible says that David does something that is interesting, because the Bible says he makes appointments for duty. Watch this. He's just finally got the ark where he wants it.
he just finally finished offering sacrifices before God. He has physically fed the people. And now his first official duty post this celebration is to make appointments for what is to happen from now henceforth and forevermore. Stay with me here. Because number one, the reason why we don't stop the music is because of the prioritization of worship. Worship is a priority. The Levites were set apart as ministers before the ark. According to Numbers chapter 3, verse 31, their duty included the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the utensils of the sanctuary with which they ministered, the screen, and all the work relating to them. But the Bible teaches us that God had set aside this tribe to do ministry. So the Levite tribe were called of God to minister. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8 says, "And at that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord and to stand before the Lord to minister to him and to bless his name on that day." The Levites were to make Yahweh known by arranging worship in the form of praise and thanksgiving. Let me do this. Every singer that's here, would you please stand? Every singer, if you sing for the church in any form, stand. Singers, singers, singers. Musicians, would y'all lift your hands up? Okay, the reason I asked you to stand is because in case you don't know it, when someone says, "Where are the Levites?" they're talking about you. Tag somebody if you need another Levite. Tag somebody to that. Somebody tag a Levite in there. Tell them you're it. I'm sick and tired of folk not knowing who they are. So when somebody says, "Levites, you're playing well today," don't look around wondering who they're talking about. They're talking about you. And let me tell you something. If you don't know who you are, you'll fool around and be something else. When God called you to be a Levite, to lift up praise and worship in the sanctuary and to give thanksgiving unto our God. Preach whilst I'm trying to. Y'all can be seated. Psalm 71, 16 says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord, and I will mention your righteousness and yours only." So that a part of what the Levite was to do was to proclaim the goodness of our God, the righteousness of our God, and him only. Watch this. The first official appointment were ministers of music. The first official appointment were ministers of music. Okay, I'm gonna get on somebody's nerves right now. And I'm going to forgive you for what you're going to think about me momentarily, but you'll get over it because I've already forgiven you for it. I'm telling you, like Jesus told Peter, when thou art converted, there's work to do. Okay, listen, here you got to know. Appointment means an assignment. An assignment comes with an anointing. Okay. Levites, y'all look at each other and tell them, neighbor, you're on assignment. Don't blow the assignment. You got to quit thinking of yourself as an individual. Sing when you get ready. Act like you doing somebody a favor. No, the Lord already did you a favor by calling you and giving you an assignment and giving you a gift. I feel like preaching today. I'm out of time. I know I gotta let you go. Can I say this to somebody who thinks you have a right to sing when you get ready and not sing when you don't feel like it? Listen to me. Play when you get ready, not play when you get, pout when you feel like it. I'm not talking to anybody here. This is for those that are going to hear the podcast. Everybody here know what I'm talking about. But somebody know what I mean. Because listen, when you walk away from your assignment, you're denying God's people access to an anointing that the divine wanted manifested in the earth realm. So when you say you staying home, what you're trying to say is I'm going to keep my anointing and me and my anointing staying home. It ain't yours. The gift not yours. You've been given a gift for a purpose. You've been given an anointing for a purpose to bring God's people into a position of worship before their God, to make him known unto God's people, to lift up his name and to praise him all the days of your life. I know y'all didn't see that coming. That just, watch this. A underneath this is that you've been called to profess God's name. You need to learn how to recognize the power in his name. And to profess God's name as you sing, as you play, as you minister, you need to profess God's name. Congregation, when you join in the praise and worship and you join in the hymns, don't let them sing alone like they're the only ones that are called into worship. They're calling you into worship and you need to join in. Okay, can I say this, y'all up here? You ought to play in God's name. Ooh. I ought to be able to hear the anointing. Y'all ain't trying to help me today. I ought to be able to hear the anointing in your fingers. I ought to be able to hear God speaking through you. I ought to be able to hear the prophetic coming out of your instrument, because you've been called to play in God's name. Okay, I'm out of time, but let me just do this real quick. I'm going to go through these fast, AV. Please stay with me real quick. Listen, tell you this, God's name is powerful. Don't let nobody fool you. God's got a powerful name. And when you learn the power in that name, you can invoke the power of that name to do great and mighty things. Because you do know Genesis 17:1 says he's El Shaddai. He's God Almighty. You do know Genesis 14 says he's Elyon, the Most High God, or God of the Most High. You do know Exodus 15:26 says he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals.
And every now and then, while you are ministering in his name, you're ministering healing. You do know Judges 6 and 24 calls him Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord who is our peace. And what you really ought to know, that they call his name Jesus, which is really Yeshua. And I believe that the Bible says that at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he's Lord of lords. There's power in the name. In the name. In the name. In the name. There's power. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, but now ask in my name that your joy might be filled. The name is the access key. The name gets you in. The name gets you to a place you can't go on your name alone, but his name. I got to get out of here. I'm done. You may be seated one more time. I'm trying to leave y'all, I'm telling you. I'm just gonna say these last two. Look at somebody, say, neighbor, something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest. Oh, how I love. Woo! It is the sweetest name I know. Ooh. Hey, something about the name. Something about the name Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. Hey, oh, I love the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Gotta go. I promise that's what will get you out early. Listen. Number two. So it is not only that God has called us because of the prioritization of worship, but God has called the people to be in worship. And the reality is that this particular 1 Chronicles 16 is a call to worship. So that the people need to be in worship. Okay, y'all didn't get it yet. He said, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name and make his deeds known among the people. Let me tell you something. Why do you think every now and then you ought to testify? Because you need to make his deeds known among the people. Every now and then you need to tell somebody, I almost let go. I was right at the edge of a breakthrough, but I couldn't see. The devil thought he had me, but Jesus came and grabbed me and he held me close so I wouldn't let go. It's the people in worship. Because let me tell you something, I don't care what you do in life, nothing will replace worship. Nothing will replace being in God's presence. Oh, give thanks. The ninth verse says, sing to him. Sing a praise to him. Speak of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember with gratitude his marvelous deeds, which he has done, his miracles and the judgments from his mouth. Oh, give thanks. I'm done, y'all. I'm done. But if you do me one last favor, it's not only the people in worship, but it's that thing we try to do at the beginning. Grandma and grandpa called it devotion. Same thing, different name. We call it praise in worship. That's what this last point is. Because what he says is the reason you don't stop the music is because there ought to be praise in your worship. He says, when you get right down to it, verse 34, I'm going to come back and finish it, y'all, but I got to stop for the day. Verse 34 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Look at somebody. If you know the Lord is good, and just say, he's good. No. I know you might be going through something, but you ought to be able to say sometime, the Lord is good. Every now and then, even with tears streaming down your eyes, you ought to be able to say the Lord is good, because you ought to realize that no matter what you're going through, that the God that you serve is yet alive. And since God is not dead, you don't have to worry about ever being by yourself. Because you are never alone. And you need to know that you got to give God a show enough praise. Because great is the Lord. And worthy to be praised. Great God Almighty, from the rising of the sun, until the going down of the same. Have I got a witness? The Lord is worthy to be praised. You need to realize that his loving kindness endures forever and ever. And since God is going to keep on blessing you, don't you dare wait until the battle is over. Go ahead and begin to shout now. You ought to praise him like you know the work's already done, because I know that he will make a way somehow. I don't know how, but the Lord keeps making a way. I don't know when, but sooner or later, a door's gonna open, a way's gonna be made, because look at somebody, say, neighbor, he's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Yeah! I gotta quit. I gotta quit. Do me one last favor. Throw your hands up, say, Lord, I bless your name. Come on, do it like you mean it. I bless your name. Waymaker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. I bless your name. Hey. Doors of church open.
You can come by letter, by Christian experience. Hebrews 13:15 said, let us at all times offer up to God the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Every now and then, you ought to give God a praise, particularly when you don't feel like it. Doors of church open. Maybe there's somebody. When I say the doors of the church are open, I'm extending an opportunity for membership in the fellowship. If you're online and you'd like to be a part of this church, call me at the number listed or email us at admin@shilohnlcomplex.org. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Lord. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want you to know something today. You're not here by accident. And for all those saints who are sitting in the overflow room, I'm praying for you. I thank God that you pressed your way to be here. I want to pray a special blessing over your lives for the effort. May the Spirit of the living God cause increase in every area. And may the enemy that has tried to attack you be suppressed, bound, yoked up, and put in his place, so that the blessing of God can be manifested in your life. I pray over your finances today. I pray over your offering and your gift. And I speak now prosperity into your household, that there be no lack and increase only, and that every need be met till there's more to put away in store. I bless your giving. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated for just a moment. Thank you, Lord.
Sunshine and rain.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Enlarge my territory.
Enlarge.
Enlarge my territory.
seek you, Lord, enlarge. Amen. As you get ready to give your offering today, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I asked last week, I'm going to ask one last time this week, if you didn't get a chance to do it last week, on behalf of our church anniversary, I ask those that can to give at least $129. Whatever you have, it may be $0.129 for you, but that's your widow's mite, and trust me, God honors that. Whatever it is, you can give above your tithes, mark it church anniversary, $129. Next year, we'll celebrate in a huge way the 130th. Let me just tell you this. As you can tell, it is a little bit crisp in here. But also, if you're observant, you'll notice that we are in the process of converting our heating and cooling system. We've spent, I'm not kidding, I don't see Brother Elijah, he could give me the number right off the top of his head, but over $100,000, I believe, has been spent in putting in new heating system because of what we experienced last winter. So we've been trying to do this since the beginning of the year. And with supply chain issues, everything is finally in and is being installed. So prayerfully next Sunday, the final installation will take place. As you can tell, it looks pretty good considering a retro that it has had to do. Now, let me tell you, that was planned. What wasn't planned was Rocky and Bullwinkle. So, I don't know how raccoons climbed up blinds, but all the blinds over here were messed up. So they've come down. That's about almost $11,000 to finish redoing all the blinds. So we got to replace all the blinds. Every seat, we didn't know where they were at. So we had the whole building sanitized. So every seat has been cleaned and sanitized. Every part of everything. We just didn't know where Rocky was and if Bullwinkle was chasing him. Y'all think I'm kidding. Brother Solomon, do you have a picture of those things? Just didn't show them in the cage. Oh, there's Elijah right there. I see you, bro. The chairman of the trustee board been working overtime. He ain't had a chance to get a break. He tried to go to golf course. We call him there. He said he's going to go visit his family. We called him down there. He's in North Carolina, says, well, the phone work. So thank you. Stand up, Brother Elijah. Let's thank God for him. I'm sure Solomon's trying to find it. But anywho, amen. So we want to get ready to close out. But we praise God for each one of y'all. I'm going to show y'all a picture sooner or later, just so y'all know. Oh, there wasn't one. There were two of them in here, and they were huge. But thank God we have survived. So please, did you hold that up to tell me you already dropped yours in? Thank you. Amen. Pray for her. The Lord's not finished yet. Yes. He's still in the process of Leviting her. She's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. So now, but I want to just say, please, if you can, if you will, join us. Now, don't take away from your tithes or your regular offering. This is separate. All right. All right. So give that as you way on your way out the door. Again, so good to see Brother Dana here. We've been praying for you, keeping you and your family in our prayers, and you have our love and support. And again, we're praying for everyone who's going through anything in this season. Amen. Well, I love all of you with the love of the Lord. You will not change my mind. Before we leave, I just want to make a special announcement and a congratulations. Oh, wait a minute. There's the raccoons right behind me. Two big cages. You got, yeah, them some ugly jokers too. Ooh, Jesus. So they were as big as dogs. They had a nice face shot. I want, never mind. This, so we survived. We survived, and thank God we did. But we do need your help. Amen. As I mentioned last week, insurance ain't going to cover it, and that's okay, because God is still good. Amen. Amen. If the Lord lay on your heart to do something special, do what the Lord told you to do. Don't do what I asked for. You do what the Lord told you to do. Look at, isn't he cute? All the damage that Joker did. Just so you know, in case you call your friends from Peter, no raccoons were killed in their removal. Amen. They were removed, safely taken 10 miles from the church and released into captivity. They were not sick. They were just in the wrong place. Amen. Amen. I thought that needed to be said. Amen. Amen. All right, you can take them off. That's enough of them.